Good afternoon, Radio Laurier. How is everyone doing today? I hope you're all doing well on this February 11th, a few days before Valentine's Day. So I hope you're all getting excited, holding those loved ones tight. Anyway, a lot happening in the NHL right now as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline. A lot of important things happening this week. So without further ado, let's get to it. Okay, so the biggest thing that happened... well, not the biggest thing, but definitely one of note that occurred last week was the Toronto Maple Leafs signed their first overall pick from a few years ago, Austin Matthews, to a 5-year, 58 million dollar contract. Sorry, my notes are a little messy. So that'll pay Matthews an average of just shy of $12 million a year, making Austin Matthews currently, next year, it'll make him the second highest paid player in the NHL, just ahead of teammate John Tavares, and one behind Connor McDavid. So I have qualms about this deal. I think he's overpaid, but I guess you could argue that because he got 5 years, he's going to take more money per year as opposed to like an 8-year deal where he'll get paid less. But still, I don't think Austin Matthews is worth the second highest paid player in the league, but that's my issue. In addition, I believe it makes signing Mitch Marner that much more difficult, but we'll see what GM Kyle Dubas has in order. So moving on from that, before I get on a tangent about Austin Matthews, the Nashville Predators making a splash in the trade market as they acquire veteran centerman Brian Boyle from the New Jersey Devils for a second round pick, and then moving just across the river and making some news with New York Rangers trading for Ryan McLeod, bringing him back to Nashville, and they gave up a 7th round pick to the Rangers for Ryan McLeod to bring him back. I think those are two pretty solid moves by the Preds. They're looking to boost their power play, and Brian Boyle's been pretty solid on the power play, so I think that's a good move there. And Ryan McLeod, if you've been listening to the show long enough, or if you know me personally, you know I'm a big fan of sandpaper, gritty guys who I just think they're great for the team, they're great for the fans. But more specifically, they're greater for the team. They're great motivators. They're great in the dressing room. They'll stand up for guys, and they're motivators. Like, nothing energizes a team more, in my experience and in my opinion, than a big hit or a big fight. So Nashville making a smart move there to pick up McLeod for a 7th round pick, which will assumably be at the bottom of the draft. A big blow here to the Minnesota Wild, as they're in a fight for a playoff spot, but they just lost their captain, Mikko Koivu, for the remainder of the season after tearing his ACL and meniscus in his right knee, and that will require surgery. So it's a pretty severe loss for the Wild, one of their top centermen, and a big-time vet, great on faceoffs, probably one of the underrated defensive players in the league, Mikko Koivu. So it's a shame he's out for the season, and the Wild are going to have to learn to deal with it, either by trade or just sticking it out. In my opinion, if you were to ask me whether or not the Wild should try and trade for a player to replace the void that Mika Koivu leaves in the lineup, I would say no. I don't think the Wild are in a good enough spot to be trying to go for a Stanley Cup. I just don't think that they're that good. I think they're a good team. I just don't think they're good enough to try and push for a Stanley Cup. So I think just, kind of like what they did last year where they lost Ryan Suter, just take it with a grain of salt. You're not going to trade for somebody of Koivu's skill level and not lose a lot, right? So I don't think it's worth it. Speaking of veteran centermen, San Jose centerman Joe Thornton becomes the second player in Sharks history to reach 1,000 points. Thornton's only second in Sharks franchise history to Patrick Marleau. So, and keep in mind, I would say Joe Thornton's the better player than Marleau, considering Joe Thornton spent a lot of good years in Boston. And he's been injured very, very frequently the last couple of years, whereas Marlowe's maintained a pretty clean bill of health. Speaking of being injured, Vancouver Canucks losing forward Sven Berchi as he's diagnosed with a post-concussion syndrome, and so he will be out indefinitely for the Canucks, which doesn't help them very much as they're looking to make a push for the playoffs. But do I think they make it? More than likely not. It's a pretty tight race out there. There's so many teams in the West. I mean, they're not far behind. They're only 2 points back of Minnesota, but there's it's heating up in a way. The West, the wild card spots are only separated by about 5 points. Six, actually. But there are many teams there that are a few wins from getting back in, which is kind of odd. Anything in the West outside of the top six is kind of disastrous. But moving on from that, Montreal, my team, the Montreal Canadiens making a bit of a splash in a trade that I very much like. So Montreal trades forward Byron Fraze and defenseman David Schlemko to the Philadelphia Flyers for defenseman Christian Fowlin and former Hab Dale Weiss. Now, I do like this trade. I was skeptical at first because Weiss does have a pretty hefty contract, and I assumed that they were trading for Weiss. I thought that if we were going to pick up Weiss, we would get something else, maybe Shane Gostisbehere, just to try and offload, so Philadelphia could offload his contract. But it seems like we just got Weiss for the player, if that makes any sense. We got Weiss for Weiss instead of just taking him and his contract away from Philadelphia in exchange of getting another player. But we did get Christian Fowlin, who, you know, could be a good seventh defenseman. You know, I don't really know how he is, how he plays. He's big, he's mobile, you know, can move the puck well. So I think it's a very low risk deal for the Habs. You know, Byron Fraze was good in the AHL, but I never thought he would make much of a splash in the NHL, especially that 1 year in the free agency where that was one of the only players Montreal signed, in addition to Carl Alsner. God, what a disastrous free agency that was. And Schlemko, we picked him up from Vegas. I thought when he was in the lineup, he was mediocre, or slightly above mediocre, but not great. But he was injured way too often. So that was another issue. We got Christian Fowlin, who, you know, we'll see what he does. But I think the main thing in this deal was we got rid of Schlemko's contract. We get a slightly worse contract with Dale Weiss, but we'll have to see what Weiss is capable of doing, being back in Montreal. If you recall, when he was with Montreal a couple years ago, he was a very good player. Again, kind of like Ryan McLeod, he's very, he's an energizing player. If you remember a couple years ago where Montreal went to the conference finals, he was a guy who was, like, in the Boston series, he was, you know, lighting the torch for Montreal, you know, pounding his chest. He was a hype guy. He got everybody excited in the locker room. Just a very good team player. And, never failed to energize the team and, had some good scoring ability out in Montreal. So, you know, me personally as a Habs fan, I'm definitely hoping he can reignite that and refine his game in Montreal as he struggled in Philadelphia. We'll hope to see. I was very sad when he was traded away, so is he says. He's always looked forward to coming back to Montreal, as you said, in numerous interviews. So he's back now, and we'll have to see where things go. But I personally would love to see what Weiss can do, as it looks like he will be slotting on the fourth line. More on that later. The Anaheim Ducks continuing their struggles as they are tied for bottom in the West. Just don't really know what happened to them. They're on another 7-game losing streak, and the wheels have fallen off in Anaheim. Management out in Anaheim had enough, and they fired head coach Randy Carlyle after, again, another 7-game losing streak. And it looks like general manager Bob Murray will take over the coaching responsibilities, in the interim, assumably going to hire somebody over the summer. But I'd say since October, maybe November, it's been a tailspin for the Ducks. I remember November, December almost, we were talking about how the Ducks were managing to survive as long as they were in a pretty okay position, considering they were missing both Corey Perry and Ryan Kesler to start the season. And ever since those guys have gotten back, you'd think that that would bring the team to the next level again. But they've just been in a nosedive to the bottom of the league. So, moving on to more positive news, Penguins captain Sidney Crosby passes former Pittsburgh great Mario Lemieux for games played in Penguins franchise history. That's pretty impressive. I think it was 916 games played for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, congratulations to Sidney Crosby. Definitely one of the greatest players to ever play, and I think he's cementing himself to be probably one of the best Pittsburgh Penguins players one of the best Penguins players of all time. In the same discussion as Mario Lemieux, and some would argue even better than Jaromír Jágr. Very interesting. Speaking of interesting, everyone's talking about Artemi Panarin, the Columbus Blue Jackets forward, and leading scorer, I might add. Will he sign? Then there was the talk about how Panarin won't negotiate a contract during the season. And then Panarin just to add to the stew, he switches agents to the same agent that manages Sergei Bobrovsky, another unrestricted free agent in Columbus. And then he goes out and says that he will be going to free agency. Now, not saying he won't sign with the Columbus Blue Jackets, but saying he wants to test free agency. So, in everyone's mind, Artemi Panarin basically just said, I'm going to free agency, I'm not staying with Columbus. I know you'll read a lot of stuff where everyone says, oh, well, he didn't say he wasn't going to sign with Columbus, he just says he wants to go to free agency. Ask John Tavares how that went. Like, I don't think anybody in the NHL is really that dumb to believe, at least I hope Columbus management isn't that dumb to let Panarin walk and say, oh, well, he'll probably just sign with us in the free agency time. I hope they don't wait that long, because I would hate to see another team get burned like the Islanders did when they lost Tavares. Anyway. Okay. Moving back to milestones, Florida Panther goaltender Roberto Luongo passes the great Patrick Waugh for second all-time in games played, 1,030 games played for Lou. That's pretty impressive. That guy's been around for a long time. It's a shame because he's been on some pretty terrible teams. He's been on some good teams, though, too. But for the most part, on some pretty terrible teams, played a lot of time in Florida, and that's just where careers go to die. Played with the Islanders in some pretty not great seasons, and had a handful of good years in Vancouver. But Bobby Lou, does he make the Hall of Fame? Yes. I know a lot of people would say why, because he doesn't have any personal, like individual awards. He doesn't have any Vezinas, but I believe he won a Jennings 1 year. Let me look that up again. If you listen to the show long enough, you'll know that I don't like to spew out facts and then not have them be true. He's got a great Twitter, if that makes you feel any better. I think he's a really solid goaltender. And you have to look at his Olympic trophy case as well. He won 2 gold medals, and with Team Canada. And apparently in 2006-2007, he finished second in both Hart Trophy and Vezina winning, and Vezina Trophy voting. So I think that's pretty impressive. I think we need to give the guy some credit and say, like, hey, this guy was on some terrible teams. And yeah, I was right. He did win the Jennings in 2010-2011, the year the Canucks went to the conference finals. So I think we should cut Luongo some slack And yeah, I think he makes it to the NHL. I mean, to the Hall of Fame. I mean, for God's sakes, the guy has proved that he can play and that he has a long career. So I think that's enough to get him in. Regardless, moving on. Speaking of goaltenders, the Chicago Blackhawks signed goaltender... Oh, jeez. I wrote all his stuff, yet I didn't write his name. I know his last name, but I don't want to just say that. Hang on. Sorry, this is embarrassing. Okay, my bad. The Chicago Blackhawks signed goaltender Colin Delia. I knew it was Delia. I just didn't know his first name was Colin because I've barely heard of him. But they signed him to a 3-year deal with $1 million AAV. So he shared the crease this year for the most part with veteran goaltender Cam Ward. You know, it's a good deal. I think Delia has some promise, especially if Crawford isn't going to be coming back anytime soon. So I think it's a good deal. It's very low risk. 3 years, $1 million. If he pans out, great. If he doesn't, you know, then so what? It's $1 million, send him down to the minors, maybe you waive him, somebody else takes him, right? Moving on. Well, I guess keeping in mind with the waiving and the cap space, the Edmonton Oilers may need to move somebody to free up some cap space so they can activate defenseman Andre Sequeira, who's been on long-term injury reserve. So he carries, the defenseman carries a $5.5 million cap hit. So a lot of TSN people saying that there's a possibility that the Oilers might waive Brandon Manning and Alex Petrovic, the two defensemen. If they clear, great. If they don't, then it'll clear enough cap space. Regardless, it'll clear enough cap space to get Sequeira back in the lineup, or they could look to trade. So we'll have to see there. Going back to Montreal, Montreal waived Kenny Agostino, and the forward was claimed off waivers by the New Jersey Devils. And in my opinion, it's a pretty big loss for the Canadiens. I think Kenny Agostino was a pretty solid fourth-line player. I think, again, he's one of those energizing guys, one of those guys who can just click in the lineup, really get everybody else going. He was a character player, as I like to say. And with that, he becomes the third player this year to be claimed off waivers by from the Habs. The other two being De La Rose, who was claimed way back in October or November by the Detroit Red Wings. That was Jacob De La Rose. I'm not sure if I said his name. And then Nikita Sherbeck, who was claimed off waivers by the LA Kings, I think December. So yeah, it's hard to see when you see three players be claimed off waivers and you don't get anything back for them. I maintain that Sherbeck still would have got something off the market, maybe a draft pick. But I mean, less people to sign back, I suppose, looking positively. They're not major losses, but they're depth losses that you don't like to see you lose. And in De La Rose and Sherbeck's cases, they're guys who still, I believe, had potential. Keeping with the Montreal Canadiens, just traded today. They traded a fourth-round pick to the LA Kings for Nate Thompson and a fifth-round pick. I think this is an amazing deal by Marc Bergevin. I mean, go back 6 months ago, any Habs fan would have crucified Marc Bergevin. Nah, I'm not going to lie. I was somewhat part of that that angry mob with the pitchforks and the get rid of Bergevin signs. But no, I wasn't that far down. You know, I still thought, hey, I'll give this guy the benefit of the doubt. The last couple of his trades haven't been great. But we'll see where it goes. You know, if I think back, some of the great trades that Bergevin's made, the stealing Petrie from Edmonton deal, getting Weiss back was good. Stealing Joel Armia from Winnipeg was great. The Andrew Shaw trade wasn't bad, but the signing I didn't like. Stealing Philip Dano from the Blackhawks was great, especially since Weiss ended up coming back here, and we got a second-round pick that ended up being Alex Romanov. What are some other ones? The Max Domi deal, I was furious when I saw that, but it ended up working out. The Max Pacioretty and Thomas Tatar deal, which ended up getting us Nick Suzuki and a second round pick. I mean, yeah, he made some questionable deals trading away. I mean, everybody has their opinion on the Subban-Weber deal. I think it was a good deal if the contracts were different. So that was like the big one that a lot of people didn't like about Bergevin. The Alsner signing, another big one. But that's the thing about management and managers, GMs. They're going to make great trades, great decisions, and they're going to make horrible decisions and horrible trades. It just happens. It'll happen to anybody, you know? And it's just a give and take. And I still think Mark Bergevin is pretty solid. And I mean, again, time and time again, whenever this guy faces criticism, he answers the bell and makes some good moves. I mean, everybody at last year's draft would have said, including myself, pick Philip Zadina. Pick Philip Zadina. We're third overall. Nobody took him before us. The second overall pick was Andrei Svechnikov. The first overall pick was Rasmus Dahlin. We'll get the third overall with Philip Zadina. He's great. He's a great scorer. He'll be great. But Bergevin didn't want to listen to all the hype, sat back and said, okay, these are our issues. Here's how we need to address them. We need a center ice player, a centerman. And what did he do? He went and picked, I would say, so far, well, it's too early to tell, but he picked a great centerman in Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Regardless of what all the fans were saying, it's panned out. Zadina's out in the Rapids in Detroit, their AHL team, I should say. Grand Rapids, if you're not familiar. And Kotkaniemi is having a great first year. And I mean, I've spoken so much about the success of the Canadians, and I don't think that Claude Julien gets enough credit. I think he's turned this team around immensely. Again, when you look at it, it's not the best roster on paper. A lot of the credit has to be given to the coach, and why Claude Julien isn't in the Jack Adams discussions is beyond me. I mean, I know that Barry Trotz is doing great on the island, considering they just lost their best player. But anyway, I digress. Going back to the deal, it's a really, really good deal for the Habs. I mean, they get a solid forward in Thompson, right? Veteran forward, played on a lot of good teams, can bring a lot of experience. And again, it looks like our fourth line is going to be, taken to the next level. You got Weiss back there now, maybe Thompson. I would still like to see Delorier or Pekka. I like Delorier because he's big and physical. But Matthew Pekka, again, nice, small, skilled, fast. But yeah, they got a solid forward in Nate Thompson. And a fifth-round pick that'll be pretty high, considering it belongs to the Arizona Coyotes. And I thought it was going to be high anyway because it belonged to L.A., but it ended up belonging to Arizona, which will still be high, but not as high as if it would have been with L.A. And the pick that Montreal sent to L.A. originally belonged to Calgary. And Calgary is the top team, I don't want to say in the West. They're top of their division. I'm not sure if they're top in the West. They are. They're the top team in the West right now. So that pick is not going to be very high. That pick's going to be at the bottom end of the fourth round. So really, Montreal picked up Nate Thompson, a solid forward who could help them in the playoffs, adds to their depth, a fifth round pick that's basically in the fourth round, or they picked up a really high fifth round pick and sent over a fourth round pick that's going to be so low it's basically going to be in the fifth round. So Montreal basically acquired Nate Thompson and moved a few spaces back in the draft. It's a really smart deal by Bergevin. And, you know, Thompson's not on a terrible deal or anything. He's on a really solid deal. It's ending it this year, so he's a rental. So I think it's a great deal. And developing on that, the Habs are doing really well. I didn't get a chance to watch the Habs and Leaf game, but I heard it was incredible. And I watched the Habs and Jets game, and that was amazing. I think that the Habs, if they get their power play going, they could really become a threat in the NHL. And it could make some noise in the playoffs. If they just can tweak that power play, they can just fix that power play, look out. Okay, we're going to take a quick break now, and then when we come back, we will be talking about the big one coming up, the NHL trade deadline, which looks to be one of the most exciting deadlines in previous history. So with that, let's... still don't understand Spotify. okay, let's... Trying to pick a song. Okay, here is Hotel California by the Eagles. That was Dream On by Aerosmith. Hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. Okay, so now that we're back, let's talk about the free agent market this year. It's got some rather big names on it. Names like Artirian Panarin, Mark Stone, Matt Duchene, Wayne Simmonds, etc. It's shaping up to be quite a big trade deadline this year. So let's go see who do I think is going to make some moves and what teams need. So first we're going to look at the top 18 teams you know, what I think their needs are. I didn't want to look through every single team. I just want to look at teams that are... in a playoff spot right now and are close to a playoff spot right now. So, we'll start off. We work from the top and work away from to the bottom, standings-wise. So, Tampa Bay, they'll look to improve their bottom six and more depth scoring. That's what I think they need. In addition, I feel like they're going to try and offload some contracts if they can. They'll try and move Ryan Callahan. Try and get rid of his deal because they're going to need it, the cap space, to re-sign Braden Point. I assume that they're going to want to improve their bottom six, maybe get some scoring from the third or fourth line. But Tampa, I don't think they need to do too much. They're doing all right where they are. The Calgary Flames also looking to improve their bottom six. Their defense core, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, is one of the best in the league. So, yeah, I think they can... They can stand to get some more scoring down the lineup. Same thing with the Jets. The Jets will look to be improving their bottom six. However, the Jets will be looking to add a second line center or just improve scoring in general, bringing in somebody on the second line. You know, they've been linked to Matt Duchene and Mark Stone as Kevin Sheffield-Dayoff made a pretty solid move last year to get Paul Stastny out of St. Louis and into Winnipeg, and he had a great playoff run that year. Okay, the San Jose Sharks, again hoping to improve the bottom six. Typically, the most top teams, if they are in the top, then they've got pretty solid. They've got a pretty solid lineup as it is, you know. Imagine big teams like Tampa, Calgary, Winnipeg, San Jose. They're just looking to tweak their lineup just a little bit, fine-tune it to the point where, you know, they think they're ready. And I think a big thing for really big teams that don't need to make major splashes at the deadline, depth. Depth will win you a Stanley Cup. You need to make sure you have a solid flow of depth players so that if somebody in the playoffs goes out, you got to have a steady and solid person to put back in there. So I would recommend the Sharks pick up depth. And again, depth scoring, you know, that's what I think they need. Furthermore, I think teams like Calgary and San Jose, they need much more consistent goaltending. Martin Jones has been up and down this year, and Mike Smith has been out to the pasture. You know, I think that if San Jose starters can refine their game, I think that brings those teams to a whole nother level. You know, especially the Sharks, who have, I'd say, the scariest defense core in the league. How many other teams have two Norris Trophy winners on the back end? Go ahead. Name me one. There are teams that have Norris Trophy winners on the back. Plenty of them. L.A., Nashville, Tampa. You know, there's plenty of them. But very few of them have two Norris Trophy winners. And arguably two of the best defensemen in the game. Anyway, moving on. The New York Islanders. I would say they need to acquire a top six defenseman. I think that the defense corps could be tweaked just a little bit. Again, New York Islanders doing a spectacular job. You know, all things considered, they lost their top player. You know, and they're top of the Metro, and they've got a pretty solid lead. They're 5 points ahead of the Washington Capitals. So I think they're pretty solid, but the Islanders, I think, need to tweak their top six defensemen a little bit, and maybe some depth scoring as well. That's just kind of my fallback. Yeah, they need depth scoring. The Maple Leafs, I think that they need the hope for some cap offload. They need to try and move somebody to open up some cap space to re-sign Marner, Kapanen. You know, and another thing I think the Leafs need is a top six defenseman. They did acquire Jake Muzzin, who slots on their top two easily. But I think they could use for a top six defenseman. Somebody just really round out the defense corps. The Nashville Predators, they need a bottom six player. Again, depth scoring, and they need to improve that power play. And, you know, they might have already done that by acquiring Brian Boyle. So both of what I have marked out for them, they may have already satisfied with acquiring Brian Boyle, but I don't think Boyle is enough to fix their power play, because ideally you want to have Boyle playing the second line power play. And their goaltending and their defense is fine, so I think they just need to find depth scoring for the bottom six. Boston, again, improved depth scoring, but this one's less of a fourth line problem and more of a second, third line, because everybody in Boston who's not Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, and Patrice Bergeron aren't scoring. I think David Krejci is their next highest scorer. And they just need to have their guys going, and they need some second line scoring. So that's why I would recommend don't be surprised if you hear names like Mark Stone and Artem Panarin coming out of the rumblings in Boston, because you know Boston's going to want to move for a big high-scoring winger like a Mark Stone or an Artem Panarin, or even Wayne Simmonds. You know, don't count him out. Wayne Simmonds could go to Nashville as well. I've heard rumors that the Leafs are trying to get Wayne Simmonds, which I don't know how. That's cap space nightmare right now. They'd have to move somebody. But yeah, I would say Boston's going to make same as last year. They went after Rick Nash. That didn't work out. I think this year they're definitely, again, going to try and go for that winger market. If they land somebody like Stone or Panarin, again, look out. Montreal Canadiens, they need a left-side defenseman to pair with Shea Weber, or at least to make that left side a little bit stronger. Right now their left side is Victor Mete, Mike Riley, and Brett Kulak. If you're wondering, if you're not a Habs fan, you've probably never heard of half of those people. Except Victor Mete. So the Habs have been searching for that left-side defenseman. They need that left-side defenseman. And I would prefer a left-side defenseman who can move that puck. Because if we can get that, that'll help Weber, because Weber's not a guy who's going to go retrieve pucks and move them fast. That's just not his game. He's a stay-at-home defenseman. He's a shutdown defenseman, not a puck-moving defenseman. So if we can get somebody who can gather those pucks, move fast, and help out Weber, that'll also help on the power play, moving those pucks over to Weber, lining up that slap shot. And, you know, just for fun, the two defensemen that I want Montreal to go after, Shane Gostisbehere and Cam Fowler. Gostisbehere's on a better deal than Fowler. Fowler's starting a pretty lengthy contract, in my opinion. But still, I'd be happy with either. They're two very great puck-moving defensemen. And Mark Bergevin, they're not rentals. They're two players who have term on their contract and can really help that left side immensely. Just imagine Shane Gostisbehere and Shea Weber. what a glorious combination that would be. Gostisbehere is one of the best puck-moving defensemen. You got Shea Weber, who's one of the best shutdown defensemen. That would be such a great combination. Oh, that would be incredible. And Fowler would be pretty solid, too. He's a little more physical than Gostisbehere. But regardless, I still think that either one of those defensemen I would take, but I can't really see it happening without moving something serious, like one of our big prospects. I would, if it's available, I would perhaps say an upgrade in center. Again, my recommendation would be Braden Schenn, because Braden Schenn's a guy who can help on the power play. He's got a term on a pretty reasonable contract. He's a scorer. And again, he's not a rental. He's got term on a contract. So just imagine yourself, look at what Montreal has accomplished right now. Now, I know you don't want to mess with the chemistry of the team, but an upgrade like this would really bring Montreal to a whole nother level. Imagine a team where the first, you know, the defense corps has Shane Gostisbehere on the first line. You got Shane Gostisbehere, Shea Weber, Shane Gostisbehere, Shea Weber, Victor Mete, Jeff Petrie, and then like Mike Riley and Jamie Benn, or Brett Kulak and Jamie Benn. That defense corps gets a lot better instantly with that move, or Cam Fowler, Shea Weber, whichever one. And then the center, you know, you got Philip Dano, Max Domi. And you slide in Braden Schenn somewhere there on the center. You have a third line. Like, that it becomes a pretty solid top three center from a team that supposedly didn't have any centermen. So, that's my, you know, spiel. However, Gostisbehere and Fowler are not on very high on my 20 list, my 20 name list of trade bait from TSN. Moving on, the Washington Capitals. Again, I think the roster for the Capitals is pretty solid. I think they just need to maybe tweak the bottom six. I don't think they need to make many deals. I just think they need a spark. I think they need something to reignite in that organization. Maybe they need to get another an energy guy for the team. Right? Just to spark something within that lineup. Because it's relatively the same team that won in the Stanley Cup last year. So, you know, I think they just need a spark to reignite whatever happened in Washington. Because they were doing disastrously a few weeks ago. You know, they have the possibility of getting Marcus Johansson back from New Jersey. That would be a spark. Entirely. I would think that would turn the wheels out in Washington. The Las Vegas Golden Knights. I think they could use a top six defenseman. I think the defense corps is still relatively weak in comparison to other teams. And again, bottom six depth scoring. They also need some scoring. Some of their top guys aren't performing to the way that you want them. Especially when you lose a guy like James Neal over the summer. I guess they kind of replace that with Pacioretty. But still, you want some more depth scoring in that lineup, and a top six defenseman wouldn't hurt. The Columbus Blue Jackets, I don't really have any trades for them. What they need to do is they need to figure out the situation with Artur Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky. Those are the two biggest things they need to figure out, okay? Because if no matter who they bring in, if they can't solve those two issues, this team is going to the dump. That's just it. And I've heard rumblings that possibly an Artur Panarin and Bobrovsky deal, like a package deal, you know, the return has to be good. Because these are two guys who are, you're talking about a leading scorer in Artur Panarin, a very talented player. And Sergei Bobrovsky, who's a two-time Vezina winning goalie. You can't lose two guys like that for nothing. That is not a John Tavares situation. Every team in the league who has a big unrestricted free agent coming up needs to learn from what happened to the Islanders. They cannot lose. They cannot afford to lose Artur Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky for nothing. They just can't. Moving on to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Again, I don't think they need any trades. They just made a trade for Nick Bjugstad. I think that was a solid trade. What they need is they need to get healthy. They need to get Evgeny Malkin back in the lineup. They need to get Matt Murray back in the lineup. Matt Murray's got to pick up his play. That's another big thing. If Matt Murray can pick up his game, then the Penguins will make some noise in the playoffs. So that's what the Penguins need. They don't need any more trades. Again, they could afford to tweak the lineup a little bit like all the other top teams, but they're not in the top team's position right now because they're not healthy and they're not playing well. So maybe a top six defenseman, maybe a bottom six player. But they need to get Matt Murray playing well again. The Carolina Hurricanes, they could use more depth scoring. I would say a second or third line player, like a sniper, because they need, like, they get a lot of shots per game. I think they're, like, one of the top teams in the league in shots per game. They're just not scoring a lot of goals, which is their issue. So they need a scoring spark. They could afford to get a better goaltender if one's available on the market for a rental, somebody like Jimmy Howard or Cam Talbot. But I would probably go with Jimmy Howard over Cam Talbot just because Talbot's a bit of a risk, if you ask me. Granted, Talbot's playing on a pretty disastrous Edmonton team. The Dallas Stars need a top four or six defenseman. I think the defense corps is kind of weak. I think they can afford to repair it. Or improve it, sorry. And they could also use a scoring spark. A lot of their big guys aren't performing to the way that they want. So I would say probably top six, top nine forward for Dallas. I think that would help them a lot. And the Buffalo Sabres, they could use a top four or top six defenseman because their defense corps could use a little bit of tweaking as well. And then maybe a top nine forward for Buffalo or a solid backup goalie. Finally, we have the St. Louis Blues. They need a better goaltender. Now, I don't think that a rental player like Jimmy Howard or Cam Talbot would be a good idea. I think they need somebody with a little more term. Because Jake Allen's just not working out there. So they need to get better goaltending and some scoring. So I'd say maybe a top six, top nine player for St. Louis to turn to make themselves into a bit more of a playoff team. And the Minnesota Wild, they need defensive forwards to try and replace the loss of Mikko Koivu. Again, I don't think you can get anybody the same caliber of Koivu without giving up an arm and a leg. So I think just tweak. Maybe a top six if you can get somebody with term, or a top nine player if you want to go for the rental business, which I don't think they're in the market for, but that's just me. Okay, quickly now, we'll run through the names, and then we'll do a recap of the standings. So, the trade bait board. This is TSN's trade bait board, so I just took the top 20 from their bait board and put it in my script for today's show. So, Columbus Blue Jacket forward, Artirian Panarin, we talked about him. Ottawa centerman, Matt Duchene. Contract's just not working out right there. They haven't really had any developments in negotiating a deal with Ottawa, so Duchene could be on his way out. Wayne Simmonds of the Philadelphia Flyers, also not wanting to leave Philadelphia, but a lot of teams are interested. The Winnipeg Jets have their first-round pick in the mix, looking to pick up a centerman or a winger, somebody like Matt Duchene or Mark Stone, as I previously said. In fifth, we have Mark Stone of the Ottawa Senators. Six, Matt Zuccarello from the New York Rangers. Seventh, the defenseman Dougie Hamilton of the Carolina Hurricanes. Surprising, so many people are willing to move Dougie Hamilton. I don't know. I thought when he was with Boston, he was quite a solid defenseman. And Matt Zuccarello obviously on this list because the Rangers are in the middle of their rebuild. Detroit Red Wings forward Gustav Nyquist, again, part of that rebuild going on in Detroit. A name that continues to surprise me, Charlie Coyle of the Minnesota Wild. Does having Mikko Koivu out of the lineup change that? I would think so. If they lose one of their top centermen, why trade away somebody who's a capable centerman in Charlie Coyle? Number 10, Columbus Blue Jackets goalie Sergei Bobrovsky. Number 11, power forward of the Carolina Hurricanes, Michael Ferland, although it's looking like they might keep him as they try and chase a playoff spot as they're 1 point back of Pittsburgh. Edmonton goalie Cam Talbot could be on his way out as a rental as Mikko Koskinen got re-signed in Edmonton. Jimmy Howard, the big vet in Detroit, asking price might be a little too high. But regardless, a lot of goalies out in the market for a lot of teams out in the market for a goalie. Number 14, Kevin Hayes of the New York Rangers. Again, part of that that rebuild going on in the Rangers organization, which surprised me because Kevin Hayes is a good young player with some term. I believe he's a centerman, so teams who need a centerman, Montreal, could afford to look at him. Carolina defenseman Brett Pesce. Again, Carolina's got some defensemen out on the market because they want to improve that top six scoring. At 16, we have Marcus Johansson of the New Jersey Devils. New Jersey's not making the playoffs. Hall's out he's been out for a while, and I think he's still out. So they're out of it. They already traded away Boyle. And Marcus Johansson now making some noise in the bait board. Former New Jersey forward and now Anaheim Duck, Adam Henrique. It's possible. Anaheim is pretty far back in the standings now, so it's possible that Anaheim could be heading towards a rebuild. 18, Winnipeg forward Jack Roslovic. It's believed that if any package deal is going to be set for big names like Mark Stone or Tyrone Panarin or Matt Duchene, Jack Roslovic is expected to be a part of it. However, Winnipeg is denying that. At 19, we have Braden Schenn, the St. Louis centerman, who I think Montreal should go for because he's got term, he's good on the power play, and he's grit. He's got grit in his game. Makes it in at number 19. And finally, at number 20, we have a surprising name who just rose up to the 20th spot recently, Florida Panther centerman Jonathan Huberdeau. Now, the reason I've read that Huberdeau is rising through the ranks on this trade bait board is that it's believed that if a package deal is being sent to Columbus for Sergei Bobrovsky and Artur Panarin, that Florida is making a lot of clatter for those two big names. So it's expected that possibly a young player like Jonathan Huberdeau could be sent to Columbus in a trade with the Blue Jackets. Okay, we've got 1 minute left in the show, but we'll quickly go through the standings. So, we'll, as usual, go through the wild card standings because that's, to me, that's just a good representation of where the league is right now. So, the Tampa Bay Lightning, geez, running away in the Atlantic Division, like 15 points ahead of the Toronto Maple Leafs for first place. I mean, Tampa Bay really just running away with the league right now. Still only with 11 losses, surprising. The Toronto Maple Leafs in second with 71 points. And the Boston Bruins just close behind them with 70 points. Moving to the Metro, we've got the New York Islanders, surprise, surprise, again sitting at the top of the division with 72 points, followed by the Washington Capitals with 67 points. And Columbus Blue Jackets in third place in the Atlantic with 65. The wildcard spots are currently occupied by the Montreal Canadiens with 69 points, and the Pittsburgh Penguins with 63 points. Close behind are the Carolina Hurricanes with 62 points, the Buffalo Sabres with 61, and a little bit farther behind the Philadelphia Flyers with 57. Bottom of the Atlantic, bottom two teams, Detroit with 49 points, Ottawa with 47. Central into the West. The Central Division being led by the Winnipeg Jets with 73 points, the Nashville Predators with 71 points, and the Dallas Stars very far behind those top two with 61 points. Moving to the Pacific, we have the Calgary Flames in the first place with 74 points. The San Jose Sharks with 73 points. And the Vegas Golden Knights with 66 points. The wildcard spots are currently being owned by the St. Louis Blues with 59 points. And the Minnesota Wild with 59 points. Vancouver in just right behind that second wild card spot with 57 points, or I guess both wild card spots with 57 points. the Colorado Avalanche, you know, a little bit farther back, but not completely out of it with 55 points. Same with the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago Blackhawks on a tear, winning 7 in a row. Colorado Avalanche losing 7 in a row. So we could see a flip there. Anaheim also on a 7-game losing streak. San Jose on a 5-game winning streak. And the Pittsburgh Penguins on a 4-game losing streak. Yeah, those are the big streaks in the NHL right now. Let's look at the league standings. Our top 5, top 10 teams in the league right now. Tampa, Calgary, Winnipeg, San Jose, New York, Islanders, Toronto Maple Leafs, Nashville, Boston, Montreal, Washington. And we move to the bottom 5. The Los Angeles Kings, the Anaheim Ducks, the New Jersey Devils, the Detroit Red Wings, and the Ottawa Senators. Okay, so that looks like it'll be it for today's episode, everybody. I hope you did enjoy today's broadcast of Richard's Ringside Radio. I've been your host, Andrew Richard. And where? Okay. See, this is why I should get. I should be more prepared. Because when I'm not prepared, man, it makes me look unprofessional. I need to get this stuff done. Anyway, like I said, I'm your host, Andrew Richard, Richard's Ringside Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Here is Redbone to talk stuff. Enjoy.